Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John. Nate Bucati is suspended. Nate Bucati is demanding a recount of the Pro Bowl voting that has led Philip Rivers to be named to the Pro Bowl. As Jake Pounders...
Hey, when you're right, you're right.
Sits back and sips his tea.
My
brawl. That's what you're doing. Sip it on your brawl. Right now, we're going to have one of the Mizzou beat writers for the Kansas City Star, Aaron Reese, on the show for the first time. I've had a chance to do an event with him at the Tiger Club of Kansas City. So glad to have Aaron on the show. Covered the game last night. Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks. Thanks for the time. So obviously, last night was a very entertaining game. And you were going to have plenty of material to write about just with the game itself. But then I feel like if you're a beat writer and you go in there to Kyle Keller's press conference and then Konzo Martin and everything else, I mean, that's a goldmine of quotes for you to pick from to write your game story. That was a couple of interesting press conferences last night, right?
Yeah, I think the best quote was Konzo saying, someone asked why Konzo played Geist at the end because he had struggled quite a bit, and Konzo said something like, "Oh, I'd take Geist in an alley with me."
Right.
yeah, no, it was quite the interesting presser. Kyle Keller was really honest and funny and cool, and then Konzo was very praised Stephen F. Austin. He really thought they were a really good team, and it was hard to disagree with them.
And so he Konzo says he did something he had never done in his coaching career. He went into the opponent's locker room and he addressed the Lumberjacks after the game. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy. I mean, I think I think if you watch a video of him doing that, he seems like he genuinely was very impressed by them and kind of just wanted to let them know that. Maybe there's a team they'll see down the line again, or a team they should hold their heads high, and that was cool to see a coach kind of get into that and just show some respect to the other team like that. I think it says a lot about maybe how what he thought of the win. You know, he didn't. It was a close game for his team, but he didn't feel like it was a bad one. You know, I mean, I think he really was happy they were able to pull it out against a team of that quality. I think he thought they were better than the sort of. Whatever you might expect just because of the name on the jersey. You know, if you take Stephen F. Austin off that jersey and don't tell anyone who it is, people might think it's a high-ranked, like, major program.
I mean, look, we saw what they did 3 years under Brad Underwood. They took a step back last year, but going into this game, 10-1, they had lost by 5 at Mississippi State. They had just come off a last-second win at LSU, and so they were battle-tested against SEC teams on the road. And they came in, and they were fearless. And what had me a little nervous about the game was the fact that they do create turnovers. And we did see the Mizzou guards have trouble, a tremendous amount of trouble, down the stretch in that West Virginia game, blowing a 16-point lead. And they were able to overcome that and overcome the St. John's pressure and their ability to turn over the basketball or force turnovers. But for Missouri, because of what's going on at point guard, this was going to be a tough matchup. And that's why I was surprised that they were double-digit favorites against Stephen F. Austin. It kind of played out the way I thought it would. What about you when you look at this basketball team? And I think we can all say maybe that's the one weakness they have is that revolving door at point guard. How do you feel about this team right now based on maybe what your expectations were?
Yeah, I guess... when my expectations knew when they had Michael Porter was that if they were able to only lose 2 games in the non-conference, it was a pretty good non-conference season for them. And it seems like they're gearing up to do that. So I think the rest of the cast has really impressed me. Cassius Robertson is doing more than probably he was asked or recruited to do. You know, he kind of just seemed like he would just be a guy who could just get open jumpers off double teams on Mike and stuff. And now he's kind of the creator for this team, and that's been really impressive. And Jordan Barnett, you know, people might get aggravated at times. He only wants to shoot threes, or only wants, only other thing he does is dunk. But he's scoring pretty consistently for them. I was, you know, point guard, I figured maybe that would be solved by now. And Blake Harris played pretty well these past few games, but still, Konzo doesn't trust him in the end. He didn't play the final 8.5 minutes this game. One with Geist, who also had 6 turnovers last night, so that was kind of interesting to me. Blake only had 2, and I think he also had, like, 5 assists. He's been pretty steady at getting assists these past couple games.
Well, that is one of the most interesting things to watch with this basketball team, to see how Blake Harris develops and how Konzo Martin utilizes those point guards as we get into conference play. But something we were talking about a little bit earlier, I'd like to get your thoughts on. Okay, so Konzo Martin comes in, and obviously this program had sunk to depths that they had never sunk to before the last 3 years under Kim Anderson. He comes in, and the number one thing you have to do is change the culture, try to turn the attitude of this team around. And, I mean, it looks like they never even went through these struggles the past 3 years. He's taken the Kim Anderson players and these highly touted recruits. He's been able to mesh them. And, look, I'm a realist. There's going to be some struggles in the SEC. There's going to be games that maybe they should win that they lose. But I'm unbelievably impressed with the way he's been able to turn this team around and the culture around the program. How has he been able to do it?
Yeah, you know, it's really fascinating. I think that, one, you know, obviously he doesn't really have much regard for whatever the sort of hierarchy of stuff was in the past. I mean, Terrence Phillips clearly lost most of his role during Geist. And I think, you know, in my opinion, just when I watched his team in the past, it was always like Kevin Furrier is a really good player. It just, he'd be a lot better if he wasn't, you know, relied on to take 10-plus shots every game. And Jordan Barnett, too. I mean, he's a lot better of a shooter when he's open a lot more. And I think it's just little additions. Like, it's like having a big guy in the post. It's like Jeremiah Tillman, who can rebound and draw, you know, some people inside that they didn't have before. It's someone like Cash Starverson, who is just a dead-eye shooter who they didn't have before. And I have to look at it. I'm pretty sure, you know, Jordan Barnett's shooting his best percentage from three, and Jordan Geist certainly is too. So, and so is Kevin Purrier. So I think, you know, it sounds simple, and obviously there's more to this, but, you know, but when you add more talent, it makes the other talent around those people look better, just because it alleviates the pressure. And I think these Kim Anderson players weren't bad. They just were probably asked to do more than they should have been.
And also the challenge, we talked about Michael Porter Jr., and we continue to talk about him. I'll ask about him before we're done with this conversation, but the challenge of having the guy that was supposed to be the go-to guy you're going to build around, and then 2 minutes into the season, he comes out of the game and never to return, or at least not up until this point, that's a whole other challenge. That's a different challenge that Konzo Martin had to face, and maybe some coaches could have lost the team, or they could have struggled more than they did just in that game against Emporia State, in that game against Utah, where it seemed like maybe there was a distraction there. But he's been able to rally this team maybe around the fact that they weren't a one-man team and they weren't just Michael Porter Jr. That was a different and unique challenge that they've been able to overcome, at least to this point, right?
Right. I mean, you know, it's not like a lot of schools where it's like a whole group of one, or a few schools where it's a whole group of one-and-dones, right? I mean, it was one-and-done guy, but Jeremiah Tillman, Blake Harris, I mean, they didn't sign here thinking that they were going to be one and done too, you know, and you would presume at least that they didn't. And I think that, so I think it wasn't like they had to, it wasn't like you had to tell guys, like, okay, you're still someone to play for in this season, you know, I mean, they came here to play and for multiple years. And also, I think it helped that they lost him as early as they did, you know, like, they didn't really even, they were still trying to figure themselves out as an offense. So when he got taken out, is like, okay, we're still trying to figure ourselves out as an offense, just like we were before, you know? So they didn't have time to get used to him. And that's something Konzo said in a story in The Athletic before, and the players said in the past. And I think that's a big thing. Is obviously, they would love to have him, but it seems, in my opinion, probably more preferable to lose him right away than to lose him, you know, right now.
Okay, you wrote about it. The headline, "Don't look too much into Michael Porter Jr. shooting before games," Konzo Martin says. And so Konzo Martin gave some comments about Michael Porter Jr. being on the court, taking some shots last night before the game, and then sitting on the bench. And so here's the obligatory question about Michael Porter Jr. What's the latest?
The latest is that, you know, people have seen him taking some jump shots while teams are warming up, and or while the teams are warming up, and basically it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I've seen a kid walking around, you know, like downtown before, so I'm not shocked he can move his arms to shoot a basketball, you know, like, and I don't think that, but that doesn't obviously mean he can jump or he can, you know, sprint down the court and bang in the post and all that. And frankly, when he is shooting these jump shots, he's not leaving his feet. So I think there's probably a reason why that. Maybe it's too much pressure on his back, whatever. I'm not. But so he's not leaving his feet. This doesn't really indicate that he's so much further along on his progress than originally. You know, Konza just kind of said it's not like he's practicing at all. He's not wearing a uniform and he's just shooting a few balls here and there. That said, he's rehabbing. So there's really no reason to think that anything's changed. He's on the bench sometimes. He's not on the bench sometimes. Konza said that was just kind of, quote, based on what he can tolerate. And, you know, he's a different player, so he gets to kind of call on those shots to some degree. And that's what you're seeing here. Maybe his teammates would wish that he wasn't shooting, or maybe it's viewed as a distraction or not, but Konza's done a pretty good job of handling these distractions, and I don't think that him shooting jumpers right now is some signal that he's back in 10 games.
Aaron Reese, Mizzou beat writer for the Kansas City Star, is our guest. You heard Kyle Keller last night say that he thinks that Mizzou is a top-four team in the SEC. Now that we are just one game away from the non-con being completed, what do you think? What are your projections now for Missouri? Where do you think they match up as far as the SEC, now that you've had a chance to see almost all of the non-con schedule?
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty close to accurate. If it's not totally, if it doesn't end up being quite there, it's going to be pretty close. I mean, that's what they were picked, or maybe they were picked fifth in the preseason. But, I mean, they're pretty close to that now, I think. Tennessee's been a bit of a surprise. And, you know, Alabama's been good at times. Obviously, A&M and Kentucky are good. Arkansas has been good. But I think, you know, they're kind of right there after A&M and Kentucky. So the first game at South Carolina will be a good test. And there'll be some decent road games for them this season. They get Tennessee at home, which will be good for them. Florida at home. It'll be close. It'll be around there. I think that as rotations tighten up in conference play, I'll be interested to see what kind of happens with point guard, and does Konza get to a point where he trusts Blake in the end of games?
Who do you think will end up being the guy by the end of the season? Do you think it'll still be Geist, or do you think it'll end up being Blake Harris?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Geist is getting most of the minutes right now, but I think you're starting to see more steady play from Blake. And I guess if I was about to pick, I would pick Blake. And that was something Cash just said, kind of interesting after the game yesterday, was when Blake got to Mizzou, he was like so fast, he didn't know how to deal with it. Like, he didn't know like when he should go at a full on sprint, how he should play with some pace and all that. And now he's starting to figure that out. And if that's true, and I do think that is true, it's first two possessions of the game were really, really good for him yesterday, then he probably has a higher ceiling than Geist, and you'd think that would mean he probably is the guy you want playing in March.
All right, two questions that I'm sure that you never get asked, so we'll go ahead and do it live here on the radio. Question number one, do you think Michael Porter Jr. will play for Missouri this year?
I people have asked me this so many times. My default answer is that I'm not going to believe he's going to play again until he steps on the court. And, I mean, that's just because, you know, I'm going to go with the timeline that the school gave. And, two, maybe he has a little bit to gain in terms of his professional prospects, but the kid knows he's going to make millions of dollars. There's really no reason for him to risk it if it's anywhere close to being a risk.
Question number two, do you think Drew Locke will play for Mizzou next year?
I do. I think it's going to depend on that draft grade. I doubt that draft grade is going to be a first-round draft grade just because of the amount of guys that have, you know, been kind of mock projected above him. And so unless all those guys, some of them, you know, obviously are pretty plugged in, unless all their info is wrong in terms of where teams see him and stuff, I just don't think Drew's going to – I don't think Drew's going to bolt for when they tell him to come back to school. I think he's really going to – he'll probably stay. And you know, they're going to try to get an offensive coordinator who is going to match what they did this year. And Drew has even talked with Jed Fish, one of the candidates came into town. So I think he's getting to be maybe not – he maybe doesn't get a vote, but they at least are kind of involving him in the process. And you know, he seems to really enjoy winning, which he doesn't. And that's something he's never gotten before this year. And maybe that's kind of opening his eyes to, oh, you know, there's more here, more I could do next year too.
And finally, when I retweeted your tweet that you were going to be on the show, someone, a gentleman named Tim, tweeted, hope you combed your hair for the listeners. And so did you comb your hair for your appearance on the Border Patrol?
I did, you know. I did. It was, I don't know if I did the cleanest job.
Right.
Some days, you know, you wake up and like you don't find the right line that you're supposed to build it on. But I gave my best.
See, you know what? You look good, you feel good, then you sound good. I don't have any hair, so I don't have that problem, but I could tell the difference. So, Aaron, thank you very much for taking this appearance seriously, and we look forward to having you on the show again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That is Aaron Reese. You can follow him on Twitter if you're a Missouri fan. Why the hell not? You should. Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, J. Reese, R-E-I-S-S is his handle. One of the beat writers for the Kansas City Star covering Mizzou. So, how about that, Jake?
It's a treat.
You want Drew Lock to come back, don't you? Just say that you do.
No, I don't.
You want me to be happy all next year?
Nope.
And on the off season and everything else,
you'll be fine.
It makes your job easier.
You guys will be fine, with or without.
Always going to be fine, but don't you want it to be wonderful?
Nah, I want that kid to go have success.
So do I. In all in due time, good sir.
Grading out is a first or second round talent.
You seeing he's a lock?
Oh, I get it.
Whatever. You want to watch the Texas Bowl with me?
When is it, 28?
27. It's a big week for me on my vacation.
Sure. D-Money Styles will be in town.
I've got the Bragging Rights game in the Texas Bowl, which means that...
Oof. Shut it down.
My wife is going to be furious because I'll be screaming.
And how's that different?
Bad.
I mean, that's
not at all.
Pretty standard.
Very common. We'll take a break. When we come back, Gary Lezak will be on the show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.